Hello, and welcome to the Project Elected podcast. Project Elect is a nonpartisan nonprofit whose goal is pretty simple. We want to get more Latter-day Saint women involved in public service. On this podcast, we interview amazing Latter-day Saint women who are involved in public service. Hi, my name is Audrey Perry Martin. I'm the founder of Project Elect and the host of this podcast.
I am excited to be interviewing Julie Fulmer today. We had some technical difficulties last time we tried this, so this is our round two, and I am excited to talk to her. She's the mayor of Vineyard, and she has so much energy and is so fun to talk to, and I really think you're going to enjoy getting to know her a little better. Julie, thank you so much for being here.
So excited to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Julie, would you just introduce yourself and tell us your story? How did you become the mayor of Vineyard? I mean, it's a pretty new town, growing really fast. Tell us about Vineyard. Tell us about how you decided to run for mayor.
My journey to run for mayor was very different than my entrance into politics. We all start somewhere with entering this moment in time where we want to serve our community. And I would say that I've always been very dedicated to community service, but I actually moved to a sleepy Vineyard. And there was like 99 homes when I was building my house. I think I got a book and a little sticker that told me my number of how many residents there were when we finally built our house and it was completed. But there was less than 150 people. And then suddenly the community just started growing really fast. And I mean, in a few months, 45 homes would be built. So there was this 3-month period where 45 new homes. And so the community just started growing very quickly. And I wanted to get to know people. I was like, oh, I just moved to this new community. We have this brand new neighborhood. So I decided to throw a party. And I called the city and I asked them if I can get a permit. And there ends up being this very long process. And I didn't understand it at the time, but they didn't even have any laws that would allow for a block party. So they had to go through this really rigorous process for me to have a block party. And I just thought, wow, I just moved here. And if you can't have a block party, this is not where I want to be long term. And I just built this house, so I've got to get involved right away. And I called the mayor and I was like, I think I need to run for office. Let me tell you why. And he's like, you have to get involved in planning commission. And he appointed me to planning commission. And it just started my journey in politics. If I were to rewind just a little bit, I had moved to Utah. You know, we're all called to do something, no matter what it is. We all feel this compelling force to do something. And I just felt this compelling reason that Vineyard was going to be really important to me and that I needed to be really involved and that I needed to do whatever I could to take care of Vineyard because it was going to be in my hands one day and I had needed to take care of it. At that time, I thought that's a block party. And so that's how that started. But then I served in planning commission for 2 years and I started going back to school for it because I thought, oh, I'm serving people. I better know what I'm doing. And then I got onto city council. And then one day somebody said, hey, I'm going to run for mayor unless you run. And I'm going to give you a couple days to decide. And I was like, can I have the full weekend? You know? And they're like, and if you don't run, we're going to run. And this person that was running was very well-known in politics, didn't really work in local politics as much. They didn't know a lot about Vineyard, but I knew that they would beat our current mayor at the time. But I had all this institutional knowledge and I had been working on all these projects. And so they were giving me this moment. So I went and called the mayor, who's like a 16-year incumbent. And I was like, hey, it looks like this person's going to run. Why don't we both throw our names in and one of us will get it? And then that's how I ended up doing it. And mostly because there were so many contracts, so much policy that needed to be done. And I had this really robust background in negotiations and contracts. So I was definitely the right person for the job.
You don't often move into a city that has no laws yet, right? In one of the first 100 residents of the town, and you're like a town founder, which is amazing.
I know, right place, right time. Got in early.
Exactly. I love it. And I love that that throwing a block party is what got you involved. I've heard lots of different stories and I've never heard that one. So that's great. That's a great.
I know. It's a really funny thing too, because so much construction was happening that the secretary was really concerned that it was going to be dangerous for people if somebody were to build on those lots. But I happened to own those lots. So I was like, wait a second, I can't throw a block party because maybe someday in the future, somebody might build on the lots next door. And they're like, yes. And I was like, I own the lots. It's going to be okay. We can have this block party.
It's not a big deal. It's going to be fine. That's fantastic. So Vineyard has been growing. What's your population now? Because when did you move there? And how long has it been? And how many people about are there now?
When I moved in, like I said, there was less than 150. And then when I ran for mayor, and it was a really neat process because as people would move in, I would get to know them and then I could become this new voice. Everybody that was on the council at the time was a family member of this farmers that lived there. So it was just me and the family member and then the mayor. He wasn't a family member, so it was like the two of us. But he had grown up there, so he's basically a family member. But we were growing so fast and I got to know every resident. And so it felt like it was a lot smaller for a long time. But by the time I ran for mayor, there were 3,000 people when I started running. And when I became the mayor, there were 6,000 people. And now there's 22,000 people.
Wow. I'm from Orem, so I'm very interested in Vineyard and how fast it's growing. And I can't believe it was just farmland in Geneva when I was
kid. I know.
And now there's 22,000 people. That's incredible.
Yeah, it grew by 10,000%.
And what a crazy time to be mayor. What are some of the things you've had to deal with? With that fast of growth and basically starting from farmland into this huge community of people?
There's so many things. There's growing from the ground up. We had to do a lot of master planning, setting the structure for our utilities, setting the structure for our roads, setting the structure for how businesses would come in, setting the structure for staff. They're setting government structure itself. They voted in a form and then we had to slowly build in policy around it. I would say that was a really big thing. And then you've got this thing where you're inviting new neighborhoods in and wanting to be that voice for the people and saying, okay, this, you're here now, you're rooting, you care about the city, let's get you involved, let's get all of the kinks worked out of your neighborhood, let's get you set up. And that takes time, you know, really knowing the people, being their voice. That was something that I think you still do as you continue to grow as a community or as your community evolves. And then I would say that another thing is Vineyard is at the crossroad of federal, state, and county projects. And so really solidifying relationships that allowed us to build transportation and infrastructure as fast as we were taking on people, which was astronomical amount of work.
Oh, I can't imagine how much work that would be in city government to build it from a ground up and not just build it from a ground up, but build it while the plane's flying, right? Because there's so many people moving in all the time. You have to be instantly ready to go and get them, get them up and running.
And everybody that moves into a new community, they want to suddenly feel like there's community activities and amenities and they want to move freely. And it's hard to say, hey, just 10 minutes before you got here, there was only a stop sign and one road, but we have three now, and you have to keep telling that story as you go. And it's not an easy one, but it's definitely something that I think we've built into our structure is just getting that message out, clear communication, a lot of transparency, bringing people along with us, a lot of coalition building.
Totally. So you said you went back to school while you were on the Planning Commission. What did you go to school and how did that kind of help you know better what to do?
Yeah, so I knew a lot about marketing. I had gone to school for digital media. I knew a lot about when it came to business structure and negotiating. I knew a lot about that. But when I first got on the Planning Commission, they wanted me to know about cement. And I thought, I know nothing about cement. So I was like, I got to sign up for cement classes because how am I going to make a really good decision on building roads and building this like resurfacing things if I don't know about that? And then all of a sudden somebody would call and be like, hey, we're going to put in all these power lines. And I was like, I know nothing about utilities. So I started taking a lot of continuing education courses on the multiple hats that you have to wear in municipal government. I think that was number one. I did a lot of trainings to say, how do you work with intergovernmental relationships, things like that. And a lot of those things can be intuitive, but I think I really wanted to get to the root of those things. And then I went back to school for political science and I got a BS from UVU. And then I studied constitutional studies. I really thought, you know what? I've always wanted to be a lawyer and this is presenting an opportunity for it. So I'll go into this and then I'll go into legal and I'll be a better public servant and I'll serve people better. I remember when I got elected, I was like, guys, I don't know why you elected me, because I don't know anything about cement, you know? But now I understand a little bit better.
Yeah, totally. I don't know anything about cement either. And who knew you need to know everything about cement to be a mayor? And how I don't even know how you would find a class about cement. But what a go-getter to just know, instead of muddling your way through, you wanted to know and understand it. So that's really impressive. So why do you think you were successful as a candidate in this type of an environment? If a lot of the people there were family members of the original farmers, how were you able to win that election?
I think I was really successful for a few reasons. Number one, I recognized that there were no barriers for me in running for office. I think that was critical to understand. Number two, I recognized if people don't want me, that's okay. I'm going to go present what I think is good, and that's okay. And I think number three, my biggest goal was just to be a voice for my people that had just moved in. You had this group of people who were creating structures, and they've lived there for 30 years, and there were all these new people, and they didn't want to do the work to go look up the laws for block parties and road infrastructure. But I felt like I really understood the people because I had moved here, and I knew all the issues with our new community. But more than anything, I knew I was a good communicator, and I could go tell them what was happening, and then I could take whatever issues they had, and I could go and fight for it.
That's great. And you really did become the voice for all of these new people moving in. And it sounds like you got to know all of them, like on a personal level too. It's obviously probably not all 22,000, but as it grew, being the person who welcomed them to the city. So that's a great way to build your network, to run for office. I mean, you talked about why you ran for office and what the reasoning behind it was, how it happened. Did you ever feel inspired to run for office, or that what you were doing was the right thing for you to do?
Yeah, I did. I do come from a spiritual background. I'm LDS, and we all have our callings. And there are a few things that I think gave me an advantage to accepting this as something that I should be doing. And I think this is something, as I look out onto the stage of women that are thinking about getting involved, there are two things to overcome. I think number one, there's this idea out there that temporal things and spiritual things to God are the same. And recognizing in our lives that sometimes as we look out and we think about separating ourselves from our executive offices or some really incredible project that we're working on or the fierce loyalty that we have towards time spent in motherhood, you have to really ask yourself, am I giving to the right places? And sometimes when we think motherhood or whatever position we're in is the most important, we can grapple back and forth with those thoughts as if, should I dedicate this service outside of my home? And I think for me, I just realized this was an important thing that I feel is just as important as Relief Society. There are so many ways that we can serve. And sometimes we serve in a church function. Sometimes we serve in the PTA, and we're serving our kids, and we're trying to make sure that the schooling that they're getting them is going to set us up for generations in the future that are going to lead our country properly. And sometimes it's working, and it's how do I take care of my family, and how do I set up my kids for the future? And then sometimes it's how do I build a community that's going to serve the children that I love and produce quality of life for the people around me? And so there was never a barrier there for me. I knew that was part of just as important as all of the other aspects, our callings, if you will.
Absolutely. I love that. I love how you put that, how there wasn't a barrier because you knew this was important and this was a way you could serve.
Yeah. And I would say that for me, I was sitting in a quiet place one time and I felt really strongly that the city of Vineyard was going to be put into my hands. And I don't ever talk about this with people, but for me personally, I was like I told you, I thought, wow, is this the small moment where I am just meeting people? I'll do that. And then I thought, oh, maybe this is where I just serve a bunch of people and I bring a bunch of resources to the city. And then I was on planning commission and I was like, oh, this is great. I'll just learn as much as I can and I'll set some good coordinates for how things can go in the future. And then I'll fly and sail off into the sunset. And each time I would feel like I remember the recorder was like, hey, I think you should run for city council. And I kept getting this prompting, like, you need to run for city council. It was a hard decision, like I said, not because I didn't feel like it was a decision that was barriers, but just saying, do I want to get into political office? Like, I've never been on the city council. What does that even mean? And sometimes we come from this perspective that's like, this is why I went and read about cement, that you have to know everything perfectly in order to do it, because why would you become a city council person unless you had excelled at the top of your class in city council training? Now I have a totally different perspective on it, but my ambition to follow this inspiration to move forward had me overcome that. And I had my first baby. I was on city council and I was pregnant during my city council run. And I was 9 months pregnant when I was run in my mayoral debate to win a mayoral debate. I was 9 months pregnant. I was about to have a baby. I had a baby 2 weeks later.
Oh my goodness. And that's really inspiring that you felt that prompting and that message that this was something you needed to do. And you weren't sure exactly what that was, but it unfolded as you went and made you willing to go with the things that seemed really hard because you'd already had that confirmation.
And each office, each time I ran, it was like, no, keep staying here. And I was like, really? Okay, I guess I'll run for mayor. And I remember thinking, just do what you can and, you know, put yourself out there and then it'll happen. And it did. And it was good.
Yeah, that's such a great story. Thank you so much for sharing that. There's one other thing you said that I want to ask you about. You said you thought that the reason why you went to go to cement classes was because you thought you needed to know everything about cement in order to be good on like the planning commission or city council. And you said you changed your mind about that now. What did you mean by that? What do you think now? Do you need to know everything about cement?
Oh, I have learned so much. I'm a different person. But I went to school. I learned all of those things and they were good, very helpful. And I would recommend it. Like as you learn and as you grow and you want to know something, get out there, get educated, put yourself out there for education. But when it comes to cities and government in general, you wear so many hats. I can't tell you how much it fully encompasses so many aspects of life that you could never be the expert in each of those fields. And you hire experts to give you information that you can digest, and then you have to learn about them, and then you go forward. I think that's number one, is recognizing there's too much to become the expert of. So you have to lean into the experts. So that's not a necessary skill. I would say, secondly, something that was most interesting to me as we're like centering this around women is I have so many people call me to change policy throughout the city. And I have probably a very close relationship with my residents. We grew in chunks together. And so I really do know a lot of them by name and have watched them raise their families. But I would say that this is across the board for everyone. There is nobody that cares more about the quality of life for their people than the mothers that live in the community. I've served with many men who are phenomenal and they care deeply and they run often, but women call me and say, hey, did you know that the flasher on 400 North isn't working today? Or, hey, did you know that there's not vertical parking on X, Y, and Z? And this is why we can't fit enough people in on this side. Or did you know that the crosswalk lady was almost hit by a car? You know, whatever it is. Or Did you know that if you like watered the grass, like this would happen with your soccer field? Or did you know that we need expansion of this road? I get these calls nonstop, and it's mostly women. And it's from sewers to water to new industry that's coming in. Or, hey, did you know this new company just came in that there's no way for me to walk across the street and my children, or I can't, whatever it is. The general plan for our community really faces motherhood. And that was so eye-opening to me because I was in internet marketing and I know a lot about selling. And I know a lot about honing in on women and with the market, their perspective on needs. They make 51% of the population. They are 80% of the market. I know all of those things. And then to come into local politics, I was like, they're the people running our city in the background. They're the underground network that are giving us all of the information. And that taught me a lot about roles and requirements. Also, aside from that, I would say I sat on many boards with people that know nothing about what they're talking about. And it really just takes people willing to put their head down and go to work, read the information, consume the information.
And care about their community, too. Like you said, all these women care so much about the little details and want to make it a better place for everybody. And that's fantastic. And I feel like that's why women make such great candidates, because they do care and they are keyed in on all of the little details in their communities that, that need to be fixed or working well, or what's good for the families and the people in the area. And I like how you can just rattle off all of those things people have called you about.
I know, it's really interesting. I shared a little bit before about this councilwoman that I know that was saving the tree for an entire community that had a tree house in a tree. We were moving this tree out of an area to put in a sewer line, and she saved the tree. But what was interesting to me was that she called me, she told me about the problem. I met her like 10 minutes later, my galoshes on, we were out in this field. And we were solving a problem that she cared about in her community. And then I was able to help negotiate sewer lines and costs. And I worked in the background with all the people. But what I loved was just her desire and her care to be involved. I thought, that's the person that needs to be on our planning commission. She needs to run for city council. She would be great because she wants to be a voice for the community.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And has the courage to stand up when something's going to harm the community and be the one who's, these are all things that I think so many women have that they don't recognize in themselves that would make them fantastic elected officials. So what roadblocks did you face when running for office? A lot of women, they feel they're not qualified, but then they're also worried about the negativity and the difficulty of running for office and all of those things. What was that like for you, and how do you deal with that kind of stuff?
There's lots of ways that people deal with this. I feel like some people might tell you to have thick skin. Some people might tell you to just move through it, and it's going to be hard. Whenever you're putting yourself out there, I think you have to realize, and I think this is one of the really interesting parts for somebody who's running for something that also comes from a religious background, is you have a reason for why you're going towards it. And if you hone in on this goal or your motivation, mine being that I felt like that's, you know, being compelled to do, it didn't matter if I made it or not. It was the right path was the journey. And then I think there is something about having thick skin, but I think there's something about loving that changes your ability to face turmoil in a way that is expansive. When you think about people like this girl I was telling you about, her first moment in time sharing her, what I would call public comment, was when she cared about a tree and she decided to go out in front of the tree where this car was, the bulldozer's coming and it has no brakes and it's plowing forward. And this is her moment in time. Her back's up against the wall. She's taking a stand. She's angry. She's mad. And now she's on the phone with me. And she's going to tell her story. And I would say that most people just don't know there's political efficacy out there that says people want to hear you. And so when they come in startled and they come enraged and they come in fighting for something, and that's just their first moment into government. You've got polarized stories happening in the universe, especially since the pandemic. And there's always going to be someone coming out who gained enough courage to come out with a flustered opinion. And if you can feel love for the idea that person cares about their community, that person is not sitting at the epicenter of all of the information, that person needs to know more, all of the bad starts washing away and you suddenly feel love and you think, I can do that. I can give you that. I can recognize who you are. I can read in between the lines. And there's this moment of just peace and calmness when somebody is saying something tragic, because they do, you feel a sense of love. And so if you don't have the ability to have thick skin, then have the ability to feel expansive love. And nothing teaches you better than having children who you sacrifice everything for. You're putting Cheerios on the table. They're knocking them over. They're really mad because you won't let them to go to some party. You have to de-escalate the situation constantly. You know more, but they feel like they're really upset about something, or they might know something that you don't know yet, and they've got to educate you on it. And there's nothing like, if you can be calm as a mother, then you can go in and be a mayor and be like, okay, let's go. Let's have this conversation.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah. I love that analogy that being a mother is the best training for that, because who as a mother hasn't had a rageful child come at them with absolute nonsense and had to just de-escalate it and be loving and not react like so many people in politics do?
Yeah, and you know what they're saying is meaningful. Mm-hmm. You know what they're saying is important, and you've got to get there together. And that's working in politics. You're like, I know what you're saying is important. I know the 50 hurdles that it's going to take to get there. Okay. I know what you need to know. I need to learn more about what you need to know. I think that's really at the heart of running for office, getting past these things. And that's really at the heart of serving long term, if you can feel that. Because there's a fear, too, that when you get in politics, you change and you become different. But if you don't have thick skin and become jaded, and you do it through love, you can really center yourself on something positive.
I love that. And it's also, it's not just how you are as mother, it's also Christ-like love and Christ-like leadership and trying to react as he would in those situations when people would come at him with anger and how he responded. And motherhood's, the goal is to be like that as well. Just thinking of that, about that in those terms, I think is really a beautiful way to think about it and a good way to shield yourself from becoming jaded.
Yeah, and it's healing. It's healing in today's society, which is hard. And I would not say, even in our hardest moments, we have them with our children, we have them in political office, it is healing to lead with love, to lead with gratitude, and in exchange for feeling harm and jaded from the lack of information that sometimes causes so much friction.
Yeah, I needed to hear that today. The love is the answer in politics. That's the way to keep from getting frustrated and overwhelmed and cynical.
Yes.
So we are almost out of time, unfortunately, because this has been so fun to talk to you. I love all of the strength and the thoughtfulness and the effort that you're putting into serving your community and just encouraging other women to run for office and to be involved and to think of this as a service that they can and should do. Do you have an invitation that you would give our listeners of something they can do in the near future to get involved and to take that first step towards getting more involved?
Yeah, I would say break down the barriers internally. Realize, especially for women who are in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, break down the barriers internally. Really know your worth, and then understand what you care about and realize that the world needs good leaders today. They need somebody to show up and give back. It's a duty and it's a sacrifice that each of us, women and men alike, need to give their communities when we feel we don't have the time. If we don't, we hand it over to the people that maybe do not support the values that will keep our government building a society that is good for our kids. And it's easy. It seems hard, but it's easy. It's as easy as calling your neighbor, because that is what running for office is. Can you have a 2-minute conversation with your neighbor? Get on the phone, call your neighbor. And it's something that if you show up to a planning commission meeting or a council meeting, you would be surprised at the desire we have to find people to volunteer and to just say, I want to give back for a moment. It's not hard. It feels hard, but it's worth it. And we can all do it. And we all should strive to do it for even a short time. And then we go back to what we were doing before. So.
Yeah, that's a fantastic. And the breaking the internal barriers, that's a new one for us. And I really like how you phrase that and how you explain what that means and how to realize that you can do this and it's important that you do this. Thank you so much, Julie. It has been such a delight talking to you. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. And I hope to talk to you more in the future.
Same. I loved it. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you all for listening to the Project Elected podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to projectelectwomen.org. We're also on Instagram and Facebook as Project Elect Women. We'd love for you to subscribe, rate us, or give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, thank you.